Welcome back to On the Record. That means we're at O'Brien and Levine, and my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm host of Radio Entrepreneurs, also CEO of Mage LLC, management consulting firm, and I'm here with Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Thanks,
Jeff,
Mark.
Jeff, thank you. We're with the best of the best attorneys.
Yeah, I know. You're so excited when you get to talk to attorneys all day long.
Well, particularly the creme de la creme.
Well, we're talking about creme de la creme. We must be talking next to Larry Casey from Davis, Mom, and D'Augustine, right?
That's right. Good morning.
And we're going to talk about overtime law.
Right.
Right.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the
you
changes.
Can you pay Mark overtime for being my friend?
I don't know if I could pay him for being your friend, but
or is that
maybe depending what his job is, he's entitled to overtime.
Very good. Very good.
Good. So let's talk about overtime law.
Okay. So I just wanted to touch base a little bit on the recent change the Department of Labor instituted with regard to overtime. They've increased the minimum salary that's required in order to be an exempt employee from $23,000 and change to $47,000 and change. The impact of that is going to be on a lot of white-collar businesses, particularly smaller businesses that are used to paying. A lot of people think if you pay the salary, you're covered in the exempt. There's other requirements. So I think there's going to be a lot of businesses there who now have to recalibrate and look at what they're paying their employees. They're going to have to pay them, if they want to be exempt, $47,476 a year in order to fit them within the exempt category for salary. And then there's some other tests beyond that, or start paying them overtime. And as we all know, a lot of businesses, you try to be efficient. So you hire less employees. A lot of businesses have hired people and put them at what used to be the old salary of $23,000 and didn't really concentrate on the other tests. And figured they're okay. But now that I think the ante is up and a higher amount, people are going to be saying, you know, wait a minute, I'm not getting paid what I'm supposed to pay. You either got to increase my salary or start paying me overtime.
What about a type of job, as you were saying, white-collar now jobs for small businesses, where the person works a regular day, so say up to 40 hours, but then takes in calls at night. So you're working at night, but it's by phone and by email, but you're technically not in the office.
Like a flex time type of thing, but that's not really overtime.
Right. Yeah. No, that it's would be.
Would it be overtime mentality. If it goes over? In other words, so the person's performing the tasks in the office for 40 hours, but now they're also having follow-up work, making calls, providing other functions, but now technically if they are doing work, but they're not doing it on site. Is that considered overtime?
That definitely would be considered overtime. And that would have been considered overtime before this change.
Interesting.
If you're working more than 40 hours a week, it doesn't go 8 hours a day, it's 40 hours a week, you're entitled to overtime, unless you're an exempt employee. And the change that the Department of Labor made goes to the exempt part. What is the standard you have to meet in order to be exempt? If you're exempt, you don't have to pay the person overtime. But they've raised the bar for that as far as what you have to pay in salary. The other tests are the same. Outside sales, if you're doing administrative work, which is work related to the management and business operations, where you have to exercise independent judgment and discretion on matters of significance, then you'd be exempt. Your executive employee, be exempt.
So let's say I'm an employee and I'm making $23,000. I think I'm working overtime. My obligation is to tell my employer?
I would say as an employee, you don't have an obligation. If you're smart, you'll be tracking your hours. A lot of businesses who believe they don't have to pay overtime don't track hours.
Right.
They're obligated to track hours. So I would say any employee now who's earning less than $47,000 a year should be tracking their hours if the employer's not, because they can come back and say, I've worked.
What if you're an employer and you ask people to track their hours and they don't track them?
That's the difficulty for the employer. Ultimately, the employer's liable, regardless of whether the employee tracks. It's the employer that's obligated to track those hours. It's the employer that's obligated to keep those records for, I think it's 3 years. They can't take that obligation and dump it on the employee and say, well, you didn't keep your hours.
What are you going to do, fire them?
No. If they fired them, you could have a potential retaliation claim if you fired them.
No, but again...
You mean in the big picture?
Yeah, employee doesn't give in his hours every month, you know?
Well, no.
Every week.
Then I think you would say, look, if you're not giving me your hours, I can't track your hours, then that's part of the requirement of the job. You're not doing part of the job, you're fired. That's a little different than than having to track your hours for overtime. If you're saying to me, I want you to come in, I want you to clock in at 9, and I want you to clock out at 5, and I don't do that, then I agree with you. That certainly could be grounds to let somebody go. But you don't lose your obligation to pay overtime. Even if I don't clock in at 9 and I'm leaving at 8 at night, I've got 3 hours, you know, if I do that every day and I'm over the 40 hours, I've got time each week there that you haven't paid me. I can come back if and when you fire me and say, hey, by the way, you owe me overtime for the last 6 weeks when I worked for you because I was working until 7 and 8 every night. And then you have the obligation, if I file that claim, you have the obligation to establish what hours I did or didn't work. I don't. The obligation's on you. Usually as a plaintiff, you have the burden of proof. In this instance, the employer has the burden of proof to say there was no overtime, you didn't work those hours.
Would it help if the employers, like in this case, what Jeff was talking about, sent emails and memos and said, look, we need your hours, and I've asked you for hours, I can't create hours, and that way it would be a prima facie defense to a claim?
It would certainly help, but I think what would be better for the employer to do is to send the email to the employee saying, you're not clocking in and clocking out.
Right.
If you don't do that, we're going to have to let you go.
But there's something in between. I mean, if you look, I understand what you're saying. A lot of businesses have gone virtual, service businesses. Most businesses in the United States are small businesses. A lot of them are service. So people are working remotely. And they're more, and if you look at management consulting, the firms have been task oriented, not time oriented.
Right.
Correct.
So if you're task oriented and you've said to employees who are task oriented, independent people, track your hours, and they say to you, yeah, but I'm getting my work done and you know, I don't have time to do that. What do you do? I mean, what's the employer to do? You don't want to fire the person, they're getting their work done.
The only thing you can do, to the extent everybody's remote, you could certainly clock in, clock out. And I use that term very loosely and broadly. We're not talking about punching the clock in, but they could certainly do that by computer and track those hours. The risk, again, is on the employer. And if the employer wants to take that risk, obviously that's their choice. But what they need to do is regulate their employees to say, don't go beyond these hours. When you have some of these task-oriented people, they may work different hours. They may start at 10. Quit at 4 and then go start again and work, you know, from 7 to 9. But you still run the risk that person is putting in more than 40 hours a week, in which case they could come back and say, I didn't get overtime. I don't meet any of the other exemption requirements.
And they don't have the burden of proof?
They do not have the burden of proof. That's up to the...
Yikes.
It is nice from an employee's...
Not nice. Yikes, I said.
Yes. I know, he's said from a plaintiff's
perspective, it's nice, right? Because the burden is on the employer. From the employer's right. perspective, no, it's not. The
is
employer
that nationwide
has to,
or Massachusetts?
That's nationwide. That's federal law is on the exemptions. So that covers no matter what state you're in, whether you have to pay overtime. And then what you're paying obviously depends on minimum wage, right? I mean, time and a half is what you'd be paying for overtime. So a lot of businesses now, I think, have to take a step back because they also have employees who they've been paying, let's say, $35,000 a year. And if you're saying, I've got employees I was paying less, working them much more than 40 hours, I now have to bump them up. They may have to bump a lot of people up in salary or hire more people and keep people under the 40 hours.
Or track them better.
Well, track them better and keep them under the 40 hours. But most employers, when you're dealing with somebody that's potentially an exempt employee, wants them to work as much and as hard as possible to get the job done because they don't have to pay them overtime.
Right.
Now, they may have to, so they're either going to have to compensate for that by hiring more people to get the work done, or you do the math. Is it cheaper to pay them the salary, fit them within the other exemption requirements, or pay them the overtime?
I think it's better to get a licensing deal and get rid of all the employees.
Well, that doesn't always work either. You're talking about hiring independent contractors and not having employees?
No, I mean a licensing deal on a product or something.
Well, yeah, that...
And someone else will manufacture and send you the check every quarter.
Well, yeah, if you can get that gig, that's a good gig to have.
Yeah, I know.
I agree.
I know. Most of us in the service business look back in hindsight and say those are good gigs.
Oh, yeah, those are definitely good gigs. Doesn't matter how many
hours
you're
putting. We're all nodding, the three of us.
Yeah.
But the question that I have is, when we were talking about virtual, as Jeff was saying, task versus time, tracking, I mean, you were saying obviously log in, log out as much as you can, but you know, what do you say, especially if they're saying, well, it's time, you know, I vlog that I can't be doing on a computer, or phone calls that I made, you can't get their phone records. It's just literally, I mean, you have to deal in good faith.
It's so much against.
Right.
You know, we have come so far in the United States in the last 30 years in terms of white collar productivity. You know, back to the days of the Japanese are beating us in the 70s. And we are the most productive white collar nation in the world. At least that's what I believe. And, you know, a lot of it's based upon this concept of output versus time. You know, and reorienting our whole society around get the job done, figure out what it means to do quality, and to put the work in, and don't think about the time you're putting in. Don't be counting hours. Don't be clocking in, clocking out. And so everything in the management literature has gone contrary to what you're saying than what the law is. Now, I understand if there's 1 in 1,000 people who have been abused, or even at 1 in 100 who have been abused, it goes counter to what I would call a productive work environment or a healthy work environment. I understand people can abuse anything, but it does concern me.
Well, the only point I would raise there to counter that is, are you paying people a fair wage in doing that work of focus on the task?
I agree with that.
And there's the prior exempt amount of salary, which was $23,000, was below the poverty level.
Right.
So you can avoid the hours by making the employee an exempt employee, paying
fair
a salary,
enough.
Fit them within the other test requirements. They're doing administrative work, executive work, or outside sales. But if you don't do that, then you just pay them the overtime. It doesn't. You don't change the productivity. All you got to do is pay them the overtime.
I agree with you. I think you're right. Yeah. I had to play the other side for you, but
no,
I agree with you.
I'm with you.
The other thing is, just to piggyback on what Jeff said, is in order to have somebody motivated, sometimes people... overtime is a positive thing, but overtime can be a negative thing too, because obviously a lot of secretaries, they push for the overtime and they're not doing anything all day. On the other hand, you have other people that you want to reward if they're going hard, and they say, look, I can work more hours, I can help you, especially like today, residential real estate paralegals, they're going hard with the economy. Well, you want to reward them, so it's like a balance.
Right.
Look,
yeah.
In the 1970s, I won't mention which union, I was a card-carrying union member, and I worked in warehouses, and I was told to slow down my work.
So you'd get the overtime. Yeah.
Well, so that they could get the overtime.
Right.
They didn't care about me.
Right.
Look, I could talk about this a lot more. There's a lot of social labor stuff going on in this whole topic, but I understand the reason behind it. Larry, if someone wants to get hold of you, how would they do that?
I'm at Davis Mom and DeAugustine. My email is probably the quickest and easiest way, and it's lkc@davismom.com.
Sounds good to me.
Your phone number?
My phone number is 617. Yes, I do. 617-589-3854.
And if you want to get hold of Mark Z, just find him at Radio Entrepreneurs or Mark Z Legal Staffing. He's my co-host this week. My name is Jeffrey Davis. You can find me at Mage LLC. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to get Larry back again. We're going to talk a lot more about these topics.
Looking forward to it.
Great.
We're going to take a break, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.